Psalm 37. You know Sam Asquith? That spotlight? That is hot. It generates heat. I'm going to get an LED. I'm serious. I already looked at it. Get an LED one.
That's actually.
And I thought, well, you know, when it cools down a little bit, and it was cool tonight, but I'm sweating.
Yeah.
So I am going to get one. I'll give it to you, and if you'll please do it again. Oh. I noticed that the first time it was up, and I thought, well, it must just be me, you know. And have you noticed it?
No, right?
No, you're. Or maybe not that fussy, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Psalm 37, if you would please, in your Bible, Psalm 37, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Father in heaven, we pray indeed that you would work through your word and instruct us tonight in that which we each have need of. In Jesus' name, amen. The first verse, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. I titled this message, Stop, Start, Stay, Stand. Okay. Stop fretting. Now listen, on all of these that I'm going to share tonight, they preach real good. They preach real easy. They live more difficult. So when I'm saying this is what we need to do, we need to this, we need to that, I very well recognize that living it is not always as easy. Our desire to be that can be on a scale of 1 to 10 a number 12.
Yeah.
But our even imagining to do it might only be at a 3 or 4.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So I understand when I say these things. And I don't want you to think that simply because I say it, don't allow yourself to be discouraged because the living it is only at a 3 or 4, even though your desire is far above it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow yourself to be disheartened. Just realize this is what the Word of God says. This is the goal. And so we pray toward and we work toward that. So here he says, fret not, stop fretting. Fretting shows doubt. I don't want to show doubt in my living. I don't even want to feel doubt in my living. But guess what? There's times where I doubt. And I know what the Word of God says. I know what God can do. But what God can do and where I'm at don't always match up. Okay? But I must not let that discourage me, because for sure I'll never have victory if I allow myself to be discouraged about it. But he does say, fret not, stop fretting. It shows doubt. And fretting, doubting, denies Romans 8:28. Now Romans 8:28 is that verse. Familiar, and we know that all things work together for good to them that do what?
Love
love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. Now that called according to his purpose, in a broad sense or a general sense, is that anybody who's saved has been called by God to salvation. God's purpose for us in calling us to salvation is that through our life and living, God may be glorified. And hence, you know, we should not fret, because that doesn't bring God glory. And yet I'm thinking to myself, who are called according to his purpose. That's usually viewed in the broad sense of his purpose for us to bring glory to himself. But let's break it down to an individual situation or thing. And what's God's purpose for me in that individual situation or thing? And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called. And so in this individual thing that I may even be struggling with, it can bring glory to God. And it can be for good. Now you know, just like I do, that while we're struggling, we can't imagine good coming out of it. If we could imagine good coming out of it, we wouldn't be struggling. Whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a situation in relationship with other people, friends, relatives, family, I guess family and relatives would be the same, wouldn't they? But good can come out of it. And we need to remind ourselves of that. And I don't believe it's displeasing to God for us to say, I believe that. I know that's true. That's what I want to live by and feel like. But God, that's not where I'm at. We may as well say it, because God knows her. So we can't fake him out. And we'll really feel a lot better if we'll talk to him like that. And really just be in a very natural way of prayer. It's always interesting to hear how some of the men that God has used in exceptional ways, how their prayer life has been described many times. It's been described as if they were just sitting there having a conversation with a friend. As a matter of fact, I remember hearing one time about Charles Weigel. He wrote the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Is that the one he wrote?
No One Ever Cared For Me.
Thank you. And how this preacher went back to visit with him in his room. And when he got near the door, he heard him talking. So he stopped, not to eavesdrop, but to try and discern, you know. And he said, oh, there must be somebody in there with him. So he didn't knock on the door. And later, when he did finally knock on the door, Brother Weigel, who's now in heaven, was praying. And he was doing it as if Jesus was sitting there in a chair in the room. And that's, you know, to think that of praying like that. So we need to stop fretting. Then, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. I'm not developing that thought, but that's so easy to happen. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We stop fretting, we start trusting. Start trusting for those everyday things. Those things that we would fret about. We need to start trusting. Just trusting God. Take God at His word. And again, I know that's so easy for me to say, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't say it simply because it's difficult to live. If anything, we need to be reminded of that. When our children are young and growing up, we tell them the same thing over and over and over. Why? Because we know they need to hear it. Oh, we might get frustrated at having to say it over and over and over, but it's to their benefit. So we need to take God at His word. We need to trust and wait and want God to take charge. And we need to take Him at His word. And that's so important. And here again, God, I know what You say. I know what the Bible teaches. And I want that to be the case in my heart. But Lord, You know that I'm fretting, okay? I'm not trusting. And work in me to change that. It can be probably one of the biggest things we'll ever ask for God to work in us. And then verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We need to stop fretting, start trusting in the sense that we briefly explain, and then stay delighted. We need to beware of being geared to our circumstances. Yes, we have problems. You can count on that. You're going to have them till you die, so there's no sense fretting about them because they're always going to be there. But we do, nevertheless, always fret about them, don't we? You may as well say yes, because, you know, unless you can walk in water, that's likely where you're at. We have problems, but we also have the Lord, don't we? We have problems, but we have the Holy Spirit. Focusing on circumstances can cause us to be a James chapter 1 Christian. James chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 6, 7, and 8. James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Focusing on the circumstances. How can you sometimes not focus on the circumstances? Sometimes, I mean, they just seem to grab hold of you and demand that you think about them. You say, you're not really very encouraging. All you're doing is confirming what I am. Yeah, I know. But these verses tell us what we can be. And before we can be what God wants us to be, we've got to admit to ourselves and to Him what we are. Now, we know that's true in order to get saved. Well, it doesn't stop being true once we're saved. And so we need to stay delighted in Him, focusing not on the circumstances, but on Him. And when we're not able to do that, when we just seem to be possessed by these circumstances, then we need to tell God that. We need to tell Him that in everyday words and language. And then just wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed. They'll be strengthened. And so we stay delighted. So we stop, we start, we stay, and then we stand. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, in verse 4, It ends with, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The common understanding of that is we have a desire, we go to God and ask for it, and if it's not against his word, then he'll give us that desire. And I believe that's a valid understanding. But an additional understanding, and perhaps the more prominent one, is that he is going to put into us what we'll desire. He'll give us the desires that our heart has. I think each of them can fit within the verse. I'm not saying there's two interpretations. God only ever has one interpretation. And our thing is to try to find out what his interpretation is. But nevertheless, as we look at that verse and try to say, how does this apply to my life? It could be either of those two. And so he'll give the desires of our heart. So we stand committed. We're committed to the Lord. We trust in him. Now, if we're standing committed, we're going to be serving Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward is a manager. Anybody who's worked in a shop or in a situation where there's a union, okay, then they know that they have union stewards and managers, all right? Somebody who manages. And moreover, it is required in a manager. Well, what am I managing? I'm managing the new life that God gave me.
Amen. Oh, that's
good. I'm managing the new creature that he's made me.
Amen.
And so we need certainly the help of God, and that's one of the reasons he gave us the Holy Spirit, to help us to manage this life, to live this life, to control this life. And to serve Christ, we must be a servant. Now, when I thought about that point, I thought about the different ones that are here, and I'm going to say probably 90-95% of the people that are here serve in some capacity. Some having several tasks. Others maybe only having one task or an occasional task. But if you think about who's here, we have people that are serving. And to be a servant, we must have a servant's heart. Now, a servant's mind is beneficial. But we don't want to just serve in a mental manner. We want to serve in a heart manner. That's not to put down the mental aspects of our life. And our life needs to involve the mind, or it'll just be emotions, and that can get us in trouble. But we must have a servant's heart. Now, look at verse 7. He says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Oh, there it is again. See that word? Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. That's exactly what he said in verse 1. To not fret.
Amen.
The one who prospers. That would infer at this point, the writer of the psalm, which is David, he must not feel that he is as prosperous as those who are giving him difficulty. And when we focus on problems, when we focus on our circumstances, what's going to happen is we're going to see people that don't have those circumstances. And we're going to think, therefore, well, aren't they lucky? Oh, I know, as Christians, we don't have luck. But whatever it is, they got something we don't have. That's what we're going to think, okay? And so But he says, what's he start verse 7 in? What's the word?
Rest.
Rest in the Lord. Book of Hebrews. I don't know what chapters. But I know in the book of Hebrews, there are those verses that talk about the faith rest. And we're going to be resting in the Lord. Faith rest. Our faith can bring us rest. We can rest in the Lord. Now, if we're going 100 miles an hour, and if we're focusing on our circumstances, and I know what I'm talking about because I can do it real well, okay? I can focus on my circumstances. And even though I know what the Bible says, and even though I may even be thinking of some verses that it's saying, I am still going to focus on the problem. How many of you have a Holy Spirit's helper? I just lost my mic. I don't know what that noise was. A lot of my body. How many of you have a Holy Spirit's helper? I've referred to my wife as the Holy Spirit's helper. Probably the first time I did that was to give her a hard time. But I know that surprises you that I do that. She's a lovely lady. But I found it to be so.
Amen.
There's so many times where when I'm all keyed up and everything, you know, I'm focusing on a circumstance, and she will say something. And you want to know what? One or two times out of 10, I'm happy she did it. And I think, oh, I'm so glad she said that. Well, maybe half to one time. I'll say that. Most of the time, I'd rather not hear it. But we wouldn't get along too much in life if we just lived by what we want to hear, would we? And so it is that God will tell us things we don't maybe want to hear, but we need to hear. And there's times where he'll do it. We got Brother McVeigh coming next week. And it may be in a sermon that he preaches that he'll tell us something we need to hear that we don't want to hear. Or it may be on a every week Sunday that pastor's preaching. Or it may be for the children or the teens in the Sunday school class from their teacher. It might be from something, maybe you're overwrought by Las Vegas and what went on there. Well, read that paper I gave you.
Amen.
You say, well, I read it this morning. Well, read it again then if you're still upset about it. Because all of our fretting and worrying about things, how many problems have been changed by our fretting and worrying? Name me one. They've just been made worse. Because we get ourselves all messed up inside. That's why God says in verse 7, just rest in the Lord. Talk to him about it. And wait patiently for him. All right, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I waited yesterday and I didn't see anything happen, so I'm waiting again today, Lord. Oh, we'd never actually speak that way, but we might feel that.
That's right.
So he says, wait patiently. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Let me close with this. Then we're going to go to prayer. Alani Mattingly, he's a pastor at Shawnee Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. I heard him preach at a conference someplace. He made this statement. Maybe God would do what we ask for if we would do what he asks for. Is that good or what, huh?
Yeah.
Let me repeat it. Maybe God would do what we ask for. Give us the desires of our heart that we know aren't bad or evil or selfish. Why is it God doesn't answer that prayer? This is a good thing. This is this isn't something for me. This is for the other people. Why doesn't God? Maybe God would do what we ask for if we would do what he asks for. Father in heaven, help us. Now, each one of us, Lord, you know where we're at. You know what our situation is.